two for the price of one, dude.
Are we on?
You know, well, now we are. Okay. The reason I'm eating cheap food is because nobody has stepped up with the Hickory Farm stuff.
Hey, welcome to Deep Thinking.
This is episode...
That guy talking about his McMuffin is Michael Bugis. The guy criticizing him for his food choice is Ed Sorbo. He didn't bring any for me.
This is Deep Thinking, episode number what?
25.
25. Hey, I wouldn't mind you nibbling on my McMuffin, if you know what I'm talking about.
This is just wrong. So what's
Speaking of wrong, that's going to be the whole episode today, is what's wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Oh, I am
so,
not wrong.
And guest silent person Robert Rue is here with us.
Robert!
And so what's going on today is I got the big screen TV, which is like not that big. And we got it set up in the shop, and we're plugging into my computer, and we're going to watch... the MotoGP race from, what's the name of that place?
Jerez.
Jerez. Man, that's a freaking cool track.
TH.
Yeah, yeah, someplace in Spain. And we're about to watch the show, but we're going to make our predictions. What?
Do you want to know? Seriously, I have an extra egg McMuffin. Are you hungry?
No, I ate, thanks.
Oh, okay.
I'm just messing with you.
You haven't learned that yet. You didn't get anything from Hickory Farms, did you?
Still not yet, no. So I am kind of sort of hungry. That hollow spot there is not full.
It's a hole in our heart, listeners.
on this coming Tuesday, episode 24 is going to go up. We've already recorded that.
Right.
This episode, 25, is going to come out the following Tuesday, a week after the race is over. But we made predictions two episodes ago.
About
Lorenzo, you were trying to say that he's done, he's washed up, he's over.
He is.
Okay. And so the first thing I want to correct on that is that we were talking about what went wrong at COTA. And you said he was slow. No, he had bronchitis.
Whatever.
Okay? When the rest of us have bronchitis, we are like in bed, not finishing fourth in a MotoGP race.
Bronchitis.
So Lorenzo gets to Jerez. For practice, he knows he needs to start doing better. He's been off the podium for four races. Can you check this out? The guy's having a bad streak when he's not on the world podium four times in a row. That's the longest the guy's ever been off the podium.
He is on a bike. No, Ed, he is on a bike that should never be off the podium.
Yeah. When was the last time you were on a podium in a race that had three guys in it? You barely squeaked in. Okay.
What are you talking about? Excuse me, I'm a three-time champion in 2014. Yeah. Hello.
Right. Okay, so we wanted to correct that. He had bronchitis. That's what was going on
there. I'm not correcting anything.
I'm correcting it, okay? And so now, in case anybody has been watching MotoGP.com or any other of the ways that you can watch the racing, the term domination has been redefined. However, the term impressive has been defined yet again by Marquez. Right? I mean, you're like, oh, well, it's just his left hand.
Right.
And it's just his little finger. And they put a pin in it for crying out loud. Right? Yeah, listen, let me hit you with a hammer. You know what? I now know who is cheering for Marquez to win the championship even more than Gugis is. And that is his friend who ran over his hand, right? Because unless Marquez wins the championship, that poor guy is going to be going, oh my God, it's my fault.
Never going to live it down. Never. They're going to be 80 and Marquez is going to be like just randomly going, hey, remember when you ran over my finger?
Right? Exactly. And so it becomes all funny if he wins the championship, but it becomes all. Now, the other thing about this is, you know, the plethora of cameras. How much you want to bet there's footage of this somewhere?
Oh, no doubt. Right? No doubt.
So, anyway, he should go riding with me because I have a history. I broke my brother-in-law's fingers and I cracked Robert's ribs when we went trail riding in my neighborhood, which is why Michael's too chicken.
Exactly. That's sanity,
chicken,
right?
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
Right.
Easter egg.
Right.
Okay.
I'm getting pretty good at I'm not telling people where the Easter eggs are. Hold on. Come to my laptop. Oh, dear God. What are
we
doing?
Go back to episode 12.
With the Hondas.
It's called And We're Racing, and you'll recall a disagreement between Michael and I about the CB400T and the CM400T. And Michael was trying to claim that the letters stood for something that he was wrong about. So CB stands for city bike.
Okay.
And then it's a 400 twin T for twin, not touring. CM, and you can see the picture of the two bikes here on my website, le-suspension.com.
Really?
Yes.
Which is a good website, but it's not nearly as good as motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
It's the length of the title that makes you good.
Wait till you see the picture I'm about to post up about
some
metal.
So there's the CM400 T.
What does CM stand for?
I think it's like cruising motorcycle or custom motorcycle.
So I was actually correct. I was just using the wrong words and letters to express myself.
That I'm impressed. That was a good save. Okay, I asked two questions, questions for you, which I know you have not bothered to remember or search.
Right.
Yes, but I have the answer. So the first question was, do the pistons go up and down together or alternating?
Alternating.
They go up and down together.
Why?
Because it's the center two parts of a inline four crankshaft.
Seriously?
So the inline four crankshaft of that time, the outside two cylinders, one and four, went up and down together, and the inside two and three, went up and down together.
But that thing must have vibrated
That keeps that inline four crank in balance.
Right.
Right? For cost-saving purposes, Honda made this bike by using part of the mold from the old crank or whatever the process.
Off, right.
Okay, so they had to add a balancer to take care of that. But the advantage is, check this out. So you go back to old-school inline four bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, modern bikes have coilover caps, which are God's gift to ignition because now you don't have high-tension wires that can go bad and such like that. Ask Eric Philipson about watching the lightning show under the gas tank of one of his old bikes at night back in the day because his spark plug wires were worn out and the sparks were jumping all over the place. Very impressive. But it was a tank full of gas, Mr. Philipson. Okay. So anyway, think back to those old bikes that had coils.
Okay.
How many coils?
I don't know.
Two.
Why?
Because you don't need four.
That's pretty good.
So each coil sparks at the same time. There's two wires going out. One spark is happening on the cylinder that's on compression and it's doing work. The other spark is happening on the cylinder that's on overlap. It's not doing anything.
Right.
It doesn't matter. They call it wasted spark. And so you can have two coils instead of four.
Okay.
Or in case of a motorcycle, you don't have to have a distributor like you do in a car. Okay, so by using the center half of the crankshaft, they use a mold or some part they already have in some fashion. And then they can continue with the one coil. So here's the funny of this.
Okay.
I'm the lot boy.
Godless. Please get to the funny.
At Wheels Hawaii. And they hire another lot boy, Ray Carasosa. And one day I'm leaving work at the end of the day, and I see Ray watching me get on my bike and drive off. And I wonder why he's looking at me with a funny look on his face. When I get home and I'm parking my bike, I happen to notice that my coil wires are switched left to right. I can tell because they don't quite reach that way.
Okay.
And so Ray had switched my coil wires, expecting my bike not to start and run, but the pistons go up and down together. It's got a single coil with a wasted spark. It makes no damn difference. Hence the confused look on his face as I drove away. That was funny. Okay, question number two was...
That was funny?
That was hilarious.
Shut up. Let me tell you something about Palm Springs.
Hang on.
No, wait.
No, sorry. No, I have the floor.
No,
you're
sitting
on the table.
I'm about to hit you with it.
Your feet are even in, and your mouth is full. Question number two was, what was the cool thing about the head on the Honda Hawk? It's called the pen-proof head.
Pen-proof.
Yes. What thing Michael doesn't know. It has three valves.
Right.
Two intake, one exhaust. They offset the right.
Mm-hmm.
They offset the exhaust valve
so that the
spark plug would be more centralized.
Right.
And this brings me to my final thing, Honda Common Service Manual.
Okay.
There's more than one. I believe there are four. There may be others. I know Climbers has a Common Service Manual type book.
Right.
Those are highly useful books. You will learn a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know all the people that refuse to buy service manuals or put an onboard timer on their bike have a million great reasons why they don't need that shit, but they're totally wrong. So
they're totally wrong about buying the service manual.
Yeah, but you don't have a timer on your bike, do you?
I don't care about the times. I have no interest in it. The minute I start looking at the lap timer, there's the minute I start trying to go faster, and I'm trying to recover.
You're contributing to a problem here.
I'm trying to step back.
Can we save your other story for later? Can we get on to
GP? No, it's a great story.
Okay, we're out of time.
No,
we don't have time for your story.
What are you talking about? We're only 10 minutes in.
I said we're out of time.
I said we're out of time. Oh, excuse me.
This is the only problem with our program, right, is that there's two of us. There's one vote each. We don't have a tiebreaker system. And Robert, if he asks you to break the tie, you don't say a word.
Exactly. No, Robert, don't get into it. Robert has long since figured out, oh, Jesus Christ.
What's your story about the desert?
Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's the desert.
You were talking about the light show underneath the gas tank?
Yes. Yeah.
Spring break. Many, many, many years ago, before I know anything about motorcycles.
Is this going to involve glow sticks?
No. No, no. This involves a motorcycle.
Okay.
This involves a Honda CB550 that had a map.
CB stands for city bike.
Well, this one was a touring version.
So at the end of it, it had a different letter, I think a K.
Exactly. It actually was the CB550K.
Right.
But I took the 4-into-4 exhaust system off and I put on a flat black Mac 4-into-1
header. Those were horrible.
Dude, but when you got it jetted right, and it had the little
blue flame shooting out the back.
Oh, it was, dude! It sounded wonderful.
The definition of jetted right in Michael's case is excessively rich.
It ran. But it had to be.
The diesel guys call that burning coal.
It had to be excessively rich because, and this is the great part. Okay. Now, this is around the time when everybody, all the cool kids, had Ninjas and GSXRs.
Define cool. Never mind.
Late 80s, early 90s, somewhere in there, right? I did not have a Ninja. I did not have a GSXR. I had a Honda CB550.
You've never caught up.
I try to keep these things in balance.
Stay on target.
A target. Oh, right. I'm all there. Everybody else, it's spring break in Palm Springs. You just cruise around this big loop in like the center of town, right? The streets are one way.
Happy
and
to say
cruises.
I never did that.
Oh, dude. yeah, the gesture said it all, didn't it, Robert?
We're on radio.
We are on radio. That's right.
They can't see your gestures.
They couldn't see me make a gesture that would be very, very appealing to the heterosexual male who's listening to this. But I digress. So, I don't have a Ninja. I don't have a GSXR. What I do have is a CB550 with a very loud pipe and a very bad leak. It's somewhere in the carburetor system. Okay? So, where does the fuel go when it leaks out of the carburetor? This was not a motor that was inclined to redistribute weight.
No, it puddles directly below. Yes.
Absolutely, straight up and down. So the pool, the fuel would pool on top of the transmission. And every time I would launch off the start line.
I guarantee it wasn't this funny, folks.
It was hysterical. Mm-hmm.
I think drugs were involved.
No, well, you know, it was, you know, it was the 80s, right? Whose was it? The fuel would catch on fire.
For some reason, it would
ignite.
For some reason, let's see, something to do with the fire triangle, maybe.
Right? Okay. Well, whatever. I would leave the lights, and everybody else would leave the light on their cool Ninja, on their cool GSXR. I would leave the light in a big blast of blue flame
road
coming
runner.
From between out. It was awesome. My friends told me, then this is the reason I remember this story. They were like, you know what, dude? There are people riding around here with bikes that cost 10 times the amount of yours, and they're all sitting there secretly wishing, damn, I wish I could get blue flames coming off from out from underneath mine. All I'm saying is that poor maintenance has its benefits.
Okay, so this is radio, and they're laughing because the expression on my face clearly projected my thoughts about that kind of bullshit. And by the way, Stay on Target was an Easter egg. Somebody needs to contact us and tell us what one of these Easter eggs were. And people need to start sending us questions. Like, we'll even take click and clack type questions.
Right.
Like, I could treat Michael's story as a question and explain how to fix that bullshit, but he's hopeless. Anyway, we're going to pause this. We're going to watch MotoGP. Yes, we are. I want to watch the race.
We're back.
It's like a time warp.
It's episode 25, part two.
Yes.
Part B.
Dos.
2.1.
Exactly.
25.1. Version. This is the upgrade. Those weren't bugs. Those were features.
So what a season we have in MotoGP this year that race was kind of dull.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's been so spectacular.
Snooze.
Although, and it's all Lorenzo's fault.
I will tell you something. I will say this. I think those middle 15 laps were really interesting because I don't need, I have a brain, and I don't need to see motorcycles running into each other to
Michael
be excited.
Michael also likes Formula One car
I love,
racing.
I love endurance racing because it takes a certain sort of spectator
to
watch it.
No, it was great, right?
Because the monitoring the gap between Rossi and Marquez was awesome.
Viewed that in the context exciting. Of the season, it's another great race, and some of them are going to be back and forth, and some of them are going to be strategic.
Exactly.
And of course, the predominant feature was that Lorenzo just crushed everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
That is the full-on Lorenzo of all time.
Ed, that was absolutely it. Now, Ed, interestingly, insists that this makes my my suspicion that Lorenzo's career is over wrong.
Well, your statement that he's washed up is rather weakened.
Just because he shows up at the track, it's on top for every practice session.
Well, not all. Okay. One guy got ahead of him by using a soft tire over one lap.
Once. On pole and leads every lap. Was it like 17 minutes ahead at the end?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
But I'll tell you something. Okay, there's a couple of things. And we can read body language after the race. And that tells you something about how the race went. Lorenzo was not just happy.
He was
overjoyed. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, right, okay? Because he was worried, right?
Yeah, he really was
granted,
worried.
To all the rest of us, I haven't been on the podium for four times. It's like, wow, really?
Really?
But
no big deal,
when
right?
When you've been on the podium every three times you races for your whole career, well, missing out four times is like huge. And you start to wonder, what the fuck? Am I going to get no brakes? My helmet fucks up.
Right.
I get sick.
Exactly.
I make the wrong tire choice. What the hell else?
Maybe right? Maybe it is me.
Yeah.
Maybe it is me.
And so now he totally proved that, no, those are just bad luck shit.
Well, let's hope. We have to see. There's something else, too. You know, it is funny. An old recovering alcoholic once told me, he explained why somebody who's got an addiction does it for so long. And it's because you don't see the slide start to happen. All you can see is the day-to-day change.
Oh, yeah,
you don't
absolutely.
See it over the long term. So we really need to see how Lorenzo is going to do on the next race. Granted, he crushed him in terms of speed, okay? But he
and
never,
consistency.
But he never had to battle anybody. He never had to fight for a position.
That's Lorenzo. That's exactly it. That's what I love to do, right? How do you get by that guy? Oh, I just go a second lap faster than him.
Exactly.
Right?
How do I have
to
outbreak
him?
I was in front in turn one and never let him get close,
and
right?
He was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was. He totally made the start from, he got pole position, so he had the best shot at getting the, and then he just checked out. The on-bike camera looking back from Lorenzo's bike from the exit of turn one told the story.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? He went, whoop! And now Marquez then told the Marquez story. Later in that first lap, Marquez was right back with him.
Oh, yeah.
He did everything he could.
He did.
Where Lorenzo and the Yamaha have an advantage. He made that advantage as small as he possibly could. And he beat the guy that mattered for the championship.
So, let's go back to Lorenzo. We'll see how he does the next time something goes wrong and see how he comes back from that. You know, before we can say that he's really back. I mean, the announcer's like, he's back. No, this was his home track. He's won here a million times, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's back.
We'll see.
Well, that's the beauty of our championship, right? We get to see.
We have a
reason. And we can all make our claims and our statements all we want.
See, this is my strategy. I make a wild amount, a dizzying array of conflicting claims, and then whatever happens, I've already predicted that.
Well, yeah, that's
okay,
one of your geniuses, Leslie. You cover all the bases.
Let's go.
Yeah.
But that leads us to
either the British or the Nazis are going to win World War II.
One of the two. Exactly.
Yours?
It's not like
turns out you were right.
Not like my ancestors. My great-great-great-grandfather was so dumb in the Civil War, he fought for the West. Now, there's an Easter egg. Find that one, motherfuckers.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Now, we compare, and then again, no disrespect to Lorenzo for what he did today, but it went perfectly. Everything went according to script.
Well, it went perfectly for 3 days.
So
it's not a one-off.
Marquez shows up. It's not going perfectly.
Yep.
You know, not necessarily a track where Honda really has an advantage. He's got basically 9 functioning fingers. You know, his friend has run his finger over, you know, and
he still gets second.
He
beats Rossi. He did spectacular. None of these guys, you can't count any of these guys done because they have a short period of bad luck or normal human luck or whatever.
Right.
How about That battle for, was it fourth place between the Ducati and the Suzuki? They went
back and forth. That was awesome,
like,
too.
Like, six times cool. in three laps. That was a spectacular.
Hey, those guys knew,
if
man.
If you're designing a racetrack somewhere, copy that part.
We got to know those
just
guys.
Go get a big piece of paper and trace the track.
Ed, this is me. This is what I always say. To make a race interesting, you've got to have bikes that are different. The Suzuki is bog slow and handles great. The Ducati is a rocket ship in a straight line, doesn't handle so good. Different advantages, different parts of the track, that's what gets you to that sort of thing. That's what makes racing so good. That's why Formula One is as good as it is on the days that it's good, is because they make them use different tire compounds during the race. You can only use
the racing is so boring. That you have to force you to use different tire compounds.
But the point is, a different bike, different rider, running the same lap time is going to have an advantage at one point, disadvantage in the other, and it makes for spectacular conflicts.
So
like
the conclusion of this deep thinking is that it's going to be a spectacular season watching the rest of it. And listen, if you don't have a MotoGP pass, share the cost with a friend. Get one. It's freaking worth it.
Or just steal it. Either
and
way.
And it's been paying for it supports racing, and it's the proper
know,
thing to
it
do.
It supports Dorna, and they're the evil empire.
Well,
I
maybe,
I
but they're
digress.
Showing us some great racing.
I think it's going to be a great season for the first
so
half.
So do we have a two-minute board?
Yes.
What is
the
it?
The two-minute board is what's going to happen in the second half of the season.
We're not even through the first half of the season. Are we even through the first third?
No, that was race number four.
Yeah, right. Of how many? Of 400 races,
nearly,
right?
Yeah, nearly 400. The NASCAR guys are going, damn, you guys are on the track all the time. You know?
Exactly.
I will say this in my concluding thought for watching the race today. I've said this to you before. Never bet against speed. Valentino is leading the championship. And believe me, thinking and strategy and all that's critically important, okay? But the fact is, on today, on a bike that could have won, he couldn't even beat the guy on the bike that couldn't have won who had nine fingers.
So Michael's saying of note is never bet against speed.
Right.
And my saying of note is never bet against skill, planning, and dedication.
Old age and treachery.
No, skill, planning, and dedication. Aloha.